Well, Bill O'Reilly really got it wrong this time. We'll set the record straight today, right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, around here at The Line of Fire, it is TGIM. Thank God it's Monday, and I have the joy of being back with you live on the air. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us. A lot of things I want to talk to you about today, an article I just wrote taking issue with Mr. Bill O'Reilly. Some amazing stories from kids that don't know who their dad is because they're children of anonymous sperm donors. Just amazing to read about their stories, their lives. And a bunch of things I want to weigh in on. We are going to have a guest, a Catholic leader, who's going to talk to us about the implications of the recent decision with President Obama. A lot to talk about. And I want to thank all of you who are standing with us and sowing into the ministry here, sowing into the Line of Fire. Later in the week, I believe your heart will be ignited even more as I share some of the vision, some of the mission, some of the calling in my heart and how together we can make a difference. But before we go any further, I want to read the word to you. It's the beginning of the week. I want to encourage you with the word of God. I want you to hear about Jesus, our Savior. Here's the number to call if you want to weigh in on any of the topics I take up today, if you want to take issue with me, if you want to raise a question that relates to any of the topics we talk about. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. Can I read you from Philippians chapter 2? Paul writes, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, with Messiah, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each one of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Messiah Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue confess that Jesus the Messiah is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Can you imagine the faith that it took? Oh, I understand. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Word made flesh. I understand that. And I understand that he had perfect, constant communion with his Father during his time here on this earth. I understand that. But there was a perfect faith that he was exercising. In other words, he had 100% trust in his Heavenly Father because of their relationship. And therefore, he knew he could go down to the deepest depths. He could go down to the most hopeless pit. He could take the sins of the world on his shoulders and die a criminal's death, a horrific, brutal, humiliating public death where you can't help yourself. I mean, you're hanging there on the cross. You're being mocked. Birds can come and peck at your eye. Do you understand? There's nothing you can do. He put himself that much in his Father's care, and he has been raised up to the highest place in the universe. And Paul says to us, our attitude should be the same as that of Messiah Jesus. Humble yourself. Get low. Do the will of God. Take the reproach. Take the mockery. Take the misunderstanding. Do the right thing. Go against the grain, and God will raise you up. All right. We will come back with Bill May with Catholics for the Common Good. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us. Here's the number to call. Again, 866-348-7884. It is Monday, Monday's Musings. We got a lot of things to cover here on the broadcast. AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Governor Rick Perry, when he was a presidential candidate, one of the debates made reference to President Obama's war on religion. Obviously, some resonated with that. Others, it raised eyebrows for them. And recently, last week in particular, things really exploded when the implications of, the president's health care system came into play, with mandates that in particular affected Catholic organizations. It is, to many, a war on religion and nothing less than that. And the so-called compromises that are being put forth are very unsatisfactory. So I've asked Bill May, in the midst of a busy schedule, he is the president of Catholics for the Common Good. I've asked Bill to join us and give us further perspective. Bill, thanks so much for coming on The Line of Fire.
Well, thank you for having me. It's good to be with you.
Now, Bill, I'm not Catholic. Probably the great majority of our listeners might be evangelical Protestants, but we have a large number of Catholic listeners also. First, could you make sure that we all understand the implications of what happened with the administration and why it should be of concern for all Christians and not only for Catholics?
Oh, that's a good point, because this is not a Catholic issue. This is, as Rick Perry said, a war on religion. And there's many, many examples of this through the administration. As part of the health care plan, the president issued a ruling, or the Department of Health Services issued a ruling that employers would have to provide insurance that covered sterilization. Drugs that cause spontaneous abortion and contraception to their employees, and it would require the employers to pay for this, which is a violation of the conscience, not just of Catholics, but anyone who has a moral concern about sterilization or abortion or contraception. And for Catholics and Catholic institutions in particular, it would force them to pay for something that was morally objectionable. And the president did revise that, and really it's a distinction without a difference, really, because what he said was, okay, the employer, the Catholic institution or Mormon or Christian, whatever institution, wouldn't have to, or even an individual, they wouldn't have to pay for it directly. They would advise their employee of that fact, but then they'd have to advise their employee that they could get it anyway, just merely by applying for it from their insurance company. And the president mandated that the insurance company shouldn't charge anything extra for that coverage. Now, that's absurd because, insurance companies aren't in the business of giving things away.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody's going to pay for it. It'll be spread more broadly. But secondly, because of these mandates at the state level, a lot of Catholic institutions have become self-insured, so they wouldn't fall under the requirement to provide these services or medications that conflict with the moral teachings of the Catholic Church. So it's outrageous. It's a fight that the president didn't have to get into. There's nobody complaining about lack of access of contraceptives. And the poor have access to them. If they can't afford them, they're given away through several different outlets. But really, it's just a blatant attack on the Catholic Church, and also it's another it's an, of how wide-sweeping Obamacare is and how they can force a lot of people to do things that they don't want to pay for and don't want.
Right. So, and Bill, you know, just to jump in, a lot of my friends that took strong issue with Obamacare absolutely want a more compassionate health care system and want a way to reduce health care costs and make them available to every American without going in the way of the socialization of medicine in our country. But their issue was that it did affect profound life issues. Their concern was that it would impact issues having to do with abortion and things like that, and would bring us a violation of freedom of conscience, freedom of religion. And again, we're not talking about freedom of religion to segregate or freedom of religion to have slaves. We're talking about freedom of religion to protect life and to honor core convictions. Now, this is not the only thing that's happened. There's I don't know how much your organization has focused on this issue as well, but another major Catholic organization that was a leader in the fight against human trafficking lost almost $20 million in grant because they would not go along with the president's pro-abortion policy. Can you comment on that incident as well?
Oh, I sure can. That's the U.S. bishops. The Catholic Church had one of the finest, most highly praised programs in dealing with victims of human trafficking. These are women who have been abused and traumatized, and at any rate, the bishops were receiving some government money to help support that program, and the Obama administration cut it off. Why? Because the Catholic Church refuses to refer women for abortion. Well, I'll tell you, this is, again, forcing the church to, either you violate your conscience or you get out of the business. Same with the hospitals. Either you violate your conscience or you get out of the business. And the church serves so many poor all over the place. Same with universities. You violate your conscience or get out of the business.
Extraordinary.
It's just outrageous.
All right, Bill, obviously, followers of Jesus, we pray, we seek to do what's right, we can vote at the right time. But right now, for Catholics and Protestants and others alike, and even people of non-faith who are outraged over this infringement, the opposite of the separation of church and state, what can people actually do right now in a practical way that could potentially make a difference?
Well, it's important to write to the president expressing objections, but there's a bill in Congress, it's picking up support. It's called the Respect for Rights and Conscience Act, write to your congressman, call your congressman, and ask them to support the Respect for Rights and of Conscience Act. This is a bill that would protect religious liberty. Protect rights of conscience and would override what the president is trying to do through this bill. You know, it's so bad. The bishop of the military sent a letter and asked priests in the military to read the letter to the congregations during mass, and the army censored the bishop and told the priests they couldn't read the bishop's letter to the faithful.
This is this was not, just so everyone understands, this was not the bishops are going to be sending out as best as they can a communication to everyone in the military blasting the government. They were simply saying to those coming to our chapel services and to those who identify with our faith, we want to share the perspective of the Catholic Church with them, and they were banned from reading that.
Yeah, it was a question of moral teaching. And the bishops across the country have sent letters out to all of the priests and asked them to be read in the churches on Sundays. And in the army, they talked about this is something that's just not acceptable. It's an unjust law, and no one can be forced to follow or adhere to an unjust law that violates a person's conscience.
Yep.
And the army objected to that, and they asked the bishop to change the letter, and but just the of a secular organization, part of the administration, you know, interjecting themselves in between a church leader, a bishop, and the faithful.
Yeah, it's you know, remarkable. It's remarkable. Hey, Bill, listen. Yeah, I've just got to jump in. We are out of time, but I want to remind everyone, friends, this is a battle against religious conviction, religious faith, and everyone needs to stand together on this. The website for Catholics for the Common Good is ccgaction.org, ccgaction.org. We also have a link on our website. Hey, Bill, thanks so much for standing with us, and we believe change will come. God bless you.
Amen.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the broadcast. We'll stay on this topic of President Obama, the administration, their decision, how it impacts Catholics, how it impacts Christians in general, how it impacts principles of religious freedom and freedom of conscience. Stay there for a moment. I did write an article I want to get to in a little while that you can read on townhall.com called Why O'Reilly Was Wrong About Ellen. Why O'Reilly Was Wrong About Ellen. I think you'll find it eye-opening. I'm going to get to it in a little while. That's on townhall.com if you'd like to look it up in advance. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Adam in New York City, thanks for calling. Are you there, Adam? No, we're not. I wasn't sure if I heard busy signal or gone. Adam's thought was that the Catholic Church will not get a lot of support on this issue because of other problems, because of the pedophile priest scandal and other issues like that. Actually, I disagree. I disagree because this is one of those things where first, most people recognize that the priests that were bad apples, just like the televangelists that were bad apples, are not the whole, not even a representative part. Now, I know some people judge it like that, but many recognize it's not the case. But it's bigger than that, because I'm not a Catholic. You understand that. It's bigger than that. I think most people recognize that the administration has really crossed a very, very serious line here, a very serious line. And that's why I bring it up. If you listen to me long enough, you know this is not a conservative political talk show. So I want to appeal to all of you, my friends, who voted for Mr. Obama and who still believe in President Obama and support him. I want to appeal to you that this is a time when you need to hold him accountable. This is a time when you need to say, with all respect, sir, you are doing the wrong thing. Those of you that want to see him reelected, I am not one of those, obviously, for many important moral and spiritual reasons. Those of you who want to see him reelected, I would urge you to make known to him your opposition. He has crossed a very serious, dangerous line. You are talking about an all-out attack on freedoms of conscience, on religious freedom, on moral freedom, and we're talking about freedom to do what's right. Not freedom to hurt people, freedom to do what is right. This is just part of, look, you say, well, why should I care? You should care because otherwise, I mean, I have 100 reasons why you should care. You should care because the government has no right to do this. And if they do this, who knows what else they will do? And you should care because if you are involved in any of these institutions and now you are now contributing to, you are now part and parcel of giving money for services that violate your convictions. How could you just do that? It's one thing if you don't know. In other words, you go into your local gas station and pump gas and you go in the convenience store and buy something and you don't know what they do with those profits. You don't know what they do with their funds. It's another thing if they put a sign up, we are doing a fundraiser for Planned Parenthood for more money for abortions. and 20% of all proceeds today go there. Well, I don't go there that day, and I don't go there thereafter if I have, unless my car breaks down and I have no choice. Otherwise, I simply don't go there. If I'm super thirsty and I have to have a drink of water, I don't buy it from there, even if I got to go 3 hours without it. I mean, it's just a matter of principle. So when the government takes these outrageous stands, we simply need to be a voice. If you care about your kids and the world they grow up in, how about that? If you'd like to hear shows like this on the radio and not have them banned, you just don't know if the government's, yeah, it's crazy. Well, what's just happened is crazy. The fact that Catholic bishops were banned from reading a letter to their constituents in the military, that's outrageous, is it not? So don't get worked up in a negative frenzy. Worship the Lord, pray, Jesus is on the throne, pray for revival beginning in the church that'll touch the society, and then take godly action. 866-34-TRUTH. Brenda in Severn, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. The President of the United States has promised to defend the Constitution. We're making all these bills of right to this and right to that. We already have the Constitution. He's not defending it. He's making his own rules. And also the taxes that I pay, I don't want those tax money to go to all this stuff. And I am praying. I'm a Christian. And I go to church and I read the Bible, and I just wanted to know what we're doing about this.
Yeah, well, Brenda, what we have to do, again, is pray, speak out, vote for this bill that was mentioned. We'll have links up on the website. Write to the president, respecting his office, and appeal to him to do what is right and back away from this mandate. And then we have to vote accordingly. Voting is only a small part of what we do as believers, but it is a part. Also, there's going to be in the D.C. area, on Thursday, February 16th at 10:30 a.m. in front of the White House, a prayer vigil and public witness against the immoral and unjust mandates President Obama has placed on religious institutions and organizations.
Okay,
my friend Pat Mahoney.
I've written letters, yeah. And I get these form letters back saying, well, we understand your opinion, but...
No, of course you're going to get a form letter back. I mean, they get millions of letters, but they listen to the letters, and because the letters mean votes. Letters
okay,
mean
and when
people
is that
care.
In the White House? At the White House?
Yeah. This will be Thursday, 10:30 in the morning in front of the White House. My friend Pat Mahoney will be leading a prayer vigil. It'll be godly, Jesus glorifying. That'll be 10:30 in the morning in front of the White House. This Thursday. Hey, Brenda, I've got to run, got a break,
okay,
but thank you for doing the right thing.
Keep up the good work.
All right, thanks. Hey, friends, this is the week to stand with us. We are one-third of the way towards meeting our goal. Again, here's what it comes down to. I have a mission. I have a calling to make a difference and to help spark a gospel-based Jesus revolution in our culture, and radio is the key means that God has given me for doing that. To help spark revival in the church so that we can be changed to go change our world. There are folks that generously helped launch our broadcast to get us on nationally, and they are now looking to see if we have wide range of support and affirmation from our listeners, then they will continue to back us and even help us expand. So if you believe in what we're doing, we need to hear from you. We need your voice. We need your vote. And again, all gifts, we're still in this special time right now, that come in are being multiplied. So if you've been waiting, praying, this is the week. I'll be meeting with folks this Saturday to discuss these very issues. So call or stand with us, 1-800-278-9978. I want to send you, as my thank you, a signed copy of my Revolution book. So say we believe in you. Mike, we're holding your hands up. We're standing with you. 1-800-278-9978. All that have been waiting, this is the week to call, or go online, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. If you haven't read my Town Hall article yet, go to townhall.com and read Why O'Reilly Was Wrong About Ellen.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. A lot to cover the next half hour, next hour and a half, for those that will be with us for two entire hours. Remember, any part of the broadcast you miss, just go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. Later in the day, all of the audio files are archived, and you can listen to them for free. Those that listen by podcast and you've been enjoying free meals for months or for years, well, come on, share the burden with us. How about that? You want me to be weighed down, burdened down by financial concerns, burdened down by how are we going to be able to do the things that are on our hearts, or do you want us to be kind of flying high with a massive vision of how we're going to make a difference? So stand with us, all right? 1-800-278-9978 to hold my hands up, to hold our team's hands up, so together we can make a difference. Again, my thank you to all of us, to all of you that stand with us. Send in your gift. Today will be a signed copy of my Revolution book. So call 1-800-278-9978. All right, tell you what. I want to finish up our discussion about what's happening with the administration, the Catholic Church, and all believers in general. This should be a concern. So I want to grab a couple more calls, and then I want to tell you about why Bill O'Reilly was really wrong about Ellen. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884 to join the discussion. Bill in Rotunda, West Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, thanks for having me. I'm a monthly contributor, and I would like to encourage everybody listening to give. I think your ministry is very important.
Well, thank you, Bill. I appreciate that so much.
How can it be, and I think I know how it can be, that 54% of Catholics, and even a large percentage of evangelical Christians, I think, in the 20s, voted for a president from a political party that has been so obviously off the charts, aggressively anti-Christian for so long, even to elevate abortion not only to a right, but to a virtue. I think part of it has to do that we have failed in apologetics. Things like I went to a Catholic high school. I had the theory of evolution jammed down my throat and socialism jammed down my throat, which I rejected at that time by nuns, for example. So how could it be? I think it has something to do with our losing our roots in our faith, a lack of commitment to the Lord, but it's a great deception when you have professing Christians. They had to read the Didache, because the Didache, the original Catholic catechism, condemned abortion around 100 A.D. It rejected abortionists. And here
that would be one of the earliest documents you can even say, pre-Catholic or anything. But, you know, Bill, I think there's so many issues. On the one hand, we as followers of Jesus have failed to captivate, we failed to captivate much of the younger generation with a message of life, with a message of transformation. Also, there's so little conviction of sin in our society, so little God consciousness, that it's really just a matter of what feels right to me. And for many, they saw John McCain as an old candidate, more of the same. They were upset with the war. They see a young candidate who seems to be so different. And many never thought through the issues. I am not identifying with the Republican Party, and this is the right party, and the Democratic Party is the wrong party. I'm looking at issues. But when I would raise the issues in advance, many people told me it wasn't true. It wasn't so. Well, of course it is. This is who Mr. Obama has been. And I'm not putting my trust in a candidate. I'm not putting my trust, even less so, in a political party. But it's a fair question to ask. I think we have to look at ourselves first, all of us, look at ourselves as believers, and ask, what has our witness been to the world? Where has been the conviction of sin in our own lives? Have we brought a message of life and transformation to the society and modeled it? And the apologetics breakdown, 100 other issues. You're absolutely right, Bill. God bless. Thanks for the good word and the support.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let's take one more call on the issue of the present administration, religious freedoms, and Catholic Church. And then I want to get into my article where I take issue with Bill O'Reilly, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And all of you who differ with me, thanks for listening. You know, there's some radio shows over the years, a Christian and otherwise, where I so differed with the hosts. And I almost have to listen because I differed. And one particular one, when the music started for his show, I realized my blood started to boil. I thought, that can't be right. That can't be right. So hopefully, if you're listening and disagreeing, you're at peace in the midst of your differences. Or you're yelling at the radio or your computer screen. That's just fine. If you're driving, though, just be careful. Either if you're agreeing passionately or disagreeing passionately, just be careful as you go. 866-34-TRUTH. Gyro, our buddy in North Miami, Florida. As I always say, it pays to have an unusual name so we remember you better. Thanks for calling, man.
Hey, how you doing? It's a pleasure to speak with you again. I appreciate you taking my call.
Yes, but go ahead, sir, please.
But I really need to stress, I know we hear a lot about, you know, we need to pray, we need to vote our people in and vote them out. But I'm telling you, I think over the 20 years that I've, you know, been voting, I've seen our country go down the tubes, and I hear the same message, pray, and vote, and our rights and abortion and gay rights and morals are going out the window. And we're just being told to be quiet and pray and vote. And I'm telling you, we need to wake up and start going out of the closet and saying enough is enough. I'm not talking about civil disobedience and rioting in the streets, but if we don't put this as number one priority and stop what we're doing to show the world that this is not right, you can pray
All right. So hang on. Gyro, I felt enough is enough a couple plus decades ago, and that just doing more of the same is not going to do it. That's one, one reason I'm on the radio is to try to stir people's hearts more deeply. So there are certain things that we should do. In other words, we don't neglect the things we should do, certain social involvement, voting, but to think that's going to change it, you're 100% right. So here's the question. What does it mean to do what you're talking about? In practical terms, what does it actually mean? We say enough is enough. Things continue to go downhill. I vote. I believe this. I believe that. And that's one reason I say don't put your trust in a political savior. And I've written about that. Because we, especially evangelicals, we think if we just get the right person in office, everything will change. Well, first, no one's going to bring about that level of change in 4 years or 8 years. Secondly, you still have the party establishment, Republican establishment, Democratic establishment. You still have that to deal with and overcome. But the biggest problem is God's people, us. We have to awaken. We have to turn to God. We have to live right. We have to really seek his face, and then something will happen. So from your perspective, flesh this out. What does it actually mean to say enough is enough? Now I'm going to go out and do something.
Well, in my opinion, I've been there and done that. I remember in downtown Miami, they were going to vote in for a gay marriage, some civil rights amendment in Bay County. And I went there for 3 days, stopped work. I lost 3 days' pay. I'm going to be confessing a sin here. I even lied to my boss on the third day because I thought it was more important to be a voice and to be a person to stand in public against the gay ordinance that would be passed in the Bay County. But you know what? Only maybe 200 people showed up out of thousands of Catholics, thousands of Protestants, thousands of Jehovah's Witnesses, thousands of you name it. Nobody showed up but a couple of hundred people, and that's why these things keep passing. But if just half of Christianity showed up, it's just half of the
how about a tenth
of all the religious people issues,
yeah,
if the world would be a different place.
Gerald, if a tenth showed up here, one out of 100 believers in a city were in front of abortion clinics offering people a better way and working with folks to help them get services they need and show that there's hope for that child in the womb and they shouldn't kill their baby. If 1/100th showed up on a regular basis, America would look different. If 1/100th got involved in neighborhood evangelism, if 1/100th got involved in feeding the poor, if 1/100th got involved in serious prayer, if 1/100th got involved in standing for righteousness issues, everything would look radically different, which means the revival has to start with us. Hey, I'm with you on that, Jairo, and I appreciate the stand you took on these other issues. We are doing our best to stir many more hearts to make a difference. God bless you, man. Thanks for calling in and sharing your word of exhortation to us. It's the truth, isn't it? May I say it again? The great problem in America is not so much the presence of darkness, it is the absence of light. May I say it again? The great problem in America is not so much what the world is doing, but what the church is doing that shouldn't be doing and isn't doing that it should be. I believe that with all my heart. Here, look at it like this. Let's just say you had a particular epidemic spreading. All right, a health epidemic. And all of the people that could help with quarantine, all of the people that could help with getting medication to the population, all of the people that could help with giving practical guidelines on what people could do to not catch this disease, they were basically busy with other commitments. And they couldn't leave their other practices because the other practices were too lucrative. And on top of that, they had golf engagements and country club engagements and other things. So where would the problem lie? Would the problem be primarily with the epidemic, or would the problem be primarily with the lack of what the doctors and healthcare professionals were doing? That's what I'm saying here. And I am not calling everything happening in the society an epidemic. We certainly have an epidemic of moral breakdown. I mean, just across the board, I've said many a time that no fault heterosexual divorce in the church has done far more to destroy marriage than all gay activists combined. I'm constantly pointing the finger back at us, back at our lack of action and speaking and doing what is right. The good news is that God is God. The good news is that there is no power lacking in the Lord. The good news is that his answer for the world is Jesus working through his people. In other words, we don't need to throw in the towel and find another method. We don't need to throw in the towel and say, okay, I guess this thing has failed. No, we have failed, but God has not failed, and the gospel hasn't failed. We have not really explored, for the most part, what God could do through us. I preached a series of special messages this weekend at Fire at our home congregation here in Concord, North Carolina. And we had folks drove in from quite a distance. Folks drove in 8 hours from Pennsylvania and over that, longer than that from Florida, and others drove in from Virginia. And it was great to connect with these folks. Then we had people from our local community. And the final message was Sunday morning to our home congregation. And I spoke from Luke 5 about getting out into deeper water, getting out into deeper water, where Jesus told Peter to go out in the deep and to go catch fish. It was the daytime. It was the wrong time to be fishing. It was the wrong place to be fishing. They had fished all night the night before and caught nothing. They knew where to fish. They knew when to fish. They were professional fishermen. Their livelihood depended on it. But Jesus told them to do something, and they said, at your word, Master, at your word, we'll do it. And when they went out, lo and behold, they found a massive catch of fish. And when they tried to bring it into their nets started to break. They pouring everything they can into the boat. They call their colleagues over in another boat. They come over to that same specific location where Jesus told them to go. They start pulling the fish in with their net. Think of this. The boats start to sink. How many fish does it take to sink boats? That's a lot of fish. But when did it happen? It happened when they launched out into the deep. It happened when they stepped out and obeyed God. It happened when they realized where they were was not working. So for every one of us, there is a deeper place in God. For every one of us, there is a deeper place of obedience. For every one of us, there is a deeper place of prayer. You may be laying on a sick bed and incapacitated and say, what can I do? Well, obviously, we want to believe God with you to touch you and to help you. But even in the midst of your own inability, you can let a cry go out from your heart saying, God, I'm hurting. I'm in need, and there are millions of people hurting also. Have mercy and help. And that prayer ascends to heaven and makes a difference. Do you believe that this is the best that we can show the world who Jesus is? Do you believe that this is the best that we can do in terms of demonstrating the power of the gospel? Or do you believe there's more? Then join me in going after God. Join me in seeking the face of God. Join me on leaning hard on the Lord, and we will see radical, wonderful, dramatic, glorious change come. God is able. God is able. All right, we come back. My Bill O'Reilly article. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for spending this time with me today on the Line of Fire. It is a joy to be with you. Again, this is the week to stand with us if you believe in what we're doing on the Line of Fire. Later in the week, I really want to help ignite your hearts with some of the mission, some of the vision that's in me, because it's a together kind of thing. And I'm confident that we're at the cusp of God doing some wonderful, radical things where God's people will make a difference through the gospel. But this is the week to be standing with us. It's my joy to tell you that not a dime of the funds that you send in here go into my pocket or the pockets of anybody on our staff. It is my joy to tell you it goes 100% to this voice you're hearing, touching many, many, many more people in the months and years to come. That's where it goes. Again, I'll be meeting with key folks involved with the radio broadcast this Saturday. We've got to evaluate where we are and where we're going. We've had generous donors that helped launch us, and they're waiting to see what our listeners are saying. Do the listeners believe in this broadcast? Do you say, yes, this is a voice we need on the air? And if our support is there, then they're going to continue to sow into us in a generous way. So here's where we need to hear from you. And again, all gifts that come in during this special season are being multiplied. 1-800-278-9978. My thank you to anyone that writes or calls this week. It will be a signed copy of my Revolution book. So call 1-800-278-9978 or just go online, askdrbrown.org. And again, thank you. From our team, thank you. My wife and I, thank you. And I believe the Lord smiles on this as we stand together. Okay, I noticed an article that Bill O'Reilly wrote and just came out a couple days ago. And he talked about these things on his TV show that I don't get to watch. And he took issue with 1 Million Moms, an organization with the American Family Association, because they were critical of JCPenney hiring Ellen DeGeneres as their new spokesperson. And he said they were guilty of witch hunting against certain people. They urged JCPenney to replace Ellen DeGeneres as their new spokesperson immediately and remain neutral in the culture war. They're not saying have some Christian celebrity up there or some preacher. They're saying remain neutral. And they wrote, funny that JCPenney thinks hiring an open homosexual spokesperson will help their business when most of their customers are traditional families. O'Reilly differed, saying, well, I sympathize with folks not wanting to deal with homosexuality. I think the moms are wrong. He argued that Kim Kardashian is a far worse role model than Ellen. And he added that there are scores of media people who are celebrated for bad behavior. If the moms want to be consistent in their outrage about dubious behavior, they're going to be very busy. Well, I checked their website out of curiosity and found that they have been busy. They criticized the fast food restaurant Carl Jr. For a salacious ad featuring Kim Kardashian herself. That was 2010. They called on Macy's to discontinue its Two Grooms ad in a recent catalog. And they previously urged JCPenney to pull their TV ad featuring the new and quickly discontinued program, The Playboy Club, which JCPenney did. So you can't accuse the moms of witch hunting against certain people, unless by certain people you mean those who glorify extramarital sex, or those who treat women as sexual objects, or those who celebrate homosexuality. So O'Reilly compares the attitude of the moms to that of the McCarthyism of the 1950s that, quote, got a whole bunch of Americans fired from jobs because he said they were communists. There's even a blacklist in Hollywood that banished perceived left-wing job seekers from employment in the entertainment industry. That was awful, O'Reilly says, and flat-out un-American. The question is the comparison apt? And does O'Reilly really grasp the reason for the mom's opposition to Ellen? And in both counts, he's wrong. Again, read my whole article on townhall.com, why O'Reilly was wrong about Ellen. So Time Magazine, 2007. Gay journalist John Cloud noted that today's kids are, quote, exposed constantly to an entertainment culture in which gays are not merely accepted, but in some ways dominant. You rarely see a reality show without a gay cast member, while Rosie O'Donnell is a coveted free agent and Ellen DeGeneres is America's sweetheart. January 2010, Jarrett Barrios, president of GLAAD, which stands for the stands for Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. I say it really stands for Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement. Jarrett Barrios of GLAAD said it's not enough to be Will and Grace anymore. The benchmark is higher. And January 2010, Scott Harris, writing for InsideMovies.com, noted that for a while now, kissing has been a popular pastime, but over the last few years, a particular subgenre has emerged as perhaps the hottest gimmick in Hollywood, girl-on-girl. So things have come a long way since Michael Medved observed a Martian gathering evidence about American society simply by monitoring our television, would certainly assume that there were more gay people in America than there are evangelical Christians. This goes back at least 8 years, his quote. And how long ago was it Elizabeth Taylor said, if it weren't for gays, honey, there wouldn't be a Hollywood? Simply stated, friends, in a media culture where out and proud lesbians like Ellen, Rachel Maddow, and Susie Orman are as American as apple pie, O'Reilly's reference to the McCarthyism of the 1950s that banished perceived left-wing job seekers from employment in the entertainment industry could hardly be more irrelevant. But that's really secondary to the larger issue here, namely the reason for the mom's opposition to Ellen as a spokesperson for JCPenney. O'Reilly notes that DeGeneres is an American citizen, adding that she's committed no crime. If she wants to promote equality for gays or gay marriage, that's her constitutional right. She should not be dismissed from anything. Of course, it's her constitutional right. Of course she's committed no crime. That's not the issue. O'Reilly began his article expressing sympathies for people who oppose the in-your-face tactics of some homosexuals at public events like parades in New York City. Quote from O'Reilly, they simply want to be left alone. They don't want to see explicit displays in public that offend their moral or religious point of view. And that is precisely the issue here. Ellen is the poster girl par excellence for gay and lesbian causes, and her 2008, quote, marriage to Portia de Rossi was celebrated on the front cover of People magazine. Her 1997 TV announcement that she was gay made television history, and she's an ever-present, always winsome spokesperson for gay activism. That is the context for the mom's opposition to her being a spokesperson for JCPenney. And it's hard to think that the chain wasn't aware of the message they'd be sending when they hired her. It's surprising that O'Reilly's logic failed him here. That's what I wrote. That's what I had to say. And I'm sure this is not what JCPenney was asking for. Of course, Ellen DeGeneres getting all kinds of thumbs up from people around the country because of the criticism from the 1 million mobs, from many liberals that would be standing with her and others. Well, in order to show their support for her, a pink dollar flash mob showed up at JCPenney's in New York City. Revelers wore pink outfits as they strolled the aisles of the store as part of an overall effort to back the Texas-based chain's decision to stand behind DeGeneres, even as 1 million moms threatened to boycott because the comedian is a lesbian. So I don't think this is exactly what JCPenney was hoping for. All right, friends, one more word of encouragement. This is the week to say we believe in what you're doing. We stand with you. This is your week to vote for us so that we can go back and talk to folks with these radio stations and say, people want us coming their way. So give me a call right now. Our team's waiting to hear from you. 1-800-278-9978. My thank you to anyone that sows into us this week as a signed copy of my Revolution book. You can also become a torchbearer. Join our growing army of torchbearers as a monthly supporter. 1-800-278-9978 or online. AskDrBrown.org. My bottom line today, we are often against many things. We are often against what is wrong. We are often against what we perceive to be unjust. But let us be known all the more for being for Jesus, for the gospel, for truth, for life, for God working in our society for his good purposes. Well, we finally had our first protester outside of Fire Church on Sunday. We're hoping it will lead to a fruitful dialogue.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, the only real surprise I've had with the open vocal role that we've had as a congregation here at Fire on many different fronts and helping to rally hundreds and hundreds of people to share the gospel in gay pride events, and with me having a certain prominent voice being called the leading local activist by gay critics, my only surprise is that we haven't had protesters out before standing in front of the church. We've talked to folks about if they do show up, how to respond. And so we had one show up, and actually I went out to talk with him, but he was already gone, and then found that he sent us a note with his number saying, of course, we'll never call. So I've already called him and reached out to him, and he called back. We've missed each other, and I want to try to sit down and have a meal together. Hey, why not? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. First hour, we had a guest on from Catholics for the Common Good talking about some of the recent things that have happened with the administration and Catholic organizations. This is something much bigger than Catholics. I'm not a Catholic. Most of our listeners are not, but many of you are. This is something that's much broader. We talked about that. And I also shared a column that I just wrote on townhall.com, why O'Reilly was wrong about Ellen. So you want to read that, go to townhall.com, check that out. But I also want to talk about something I've never talked about in depth. I've never talked about this in depth on the air, and it is really, really poignant. It really ties in with issues of family, with issues of life. And I visited a website a couple days ago, and boy, the stories there just spoke to me. It is called the Anonymous Us Project. And the website is anonymousus.org. Anonymousus.org. And here's their mission statement. Are you ready? The Anonymous Us Project is a safety zone for real and honest options about reproductive technologies and family fragmentation. We aim to share the experiences of voluntary and involuntary participants in these technologies while preserving the dignity and privacy for storytellers and their loved ones. Many of these kids that are weighing in here are grown now. They're adults, some with their own families, and they are the products of anonymous sperm donors and the like. And we have not adequately thought through major decisions in our society. While for some married couples, artificial insemination was an amazing answer to prayer for you. And of course, many of you are adoptive parents and some of you are children of adoption. And of course, there are guidelines that parents realize they deal with and when they share with their child that the child was adopted. And if there are ways to connect the child with biological mother or father and those kinds of things. But the ante gets upped dramatically when there is this irresponsible sperm bank thing now where some men have fathered. I mean, that's what it is. 30, 40, 50 kids and more. And many kids, the great majority, unable to find out who their father really is. I want to talk about some of the implications of this. It's an angle that we almost never hear talked about. And if you can relate to this personally, even if you want to call in under another name, if that protects your identity because it's so personal, if you can relate to this personally or weigh in personally with your own story, please call 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. A lot to talk about. Stay with us.
Fire we want, for fire we please. Stand in the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I just was handed a final compilation of the many emails that were sent to us, especially by gay activists and straight ally listeners to the dialogue debate that Frank Turek and I had with Mitchell Gold, gay activist, founder of Faith in America. And I look forward to continuing that and to involving some other folks that are part of Faith in America that say that they are evangelicals and yet stand for things that I'm convinced are completely unscriptural. But I'm just getting a chuckle over some of these. And I am definitely going to read a couple of these excerpts to you as we go on the broadcast today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Okay. We often hear stories, thinking of Mitchell Gold, for example, stories about teenagers who take their lives because we're told because it was of homophobia, because they felt there was no hope for them, or because they felt from Christians that God hated them, or they were damned, and things like that. And I am very sensitive to any young person that takes their life for any reason, and my heart grieves over any of these. What always concerns me is that there's so many other stories from so many other sides that we seem to never hear about. There are so many others that are in pain because they were deprived of having a mom or deprived of having a dad by choices that were willfully made by those who brought them into the world. I'm not talking about someone that had no possible way, a heterosexual couple, and there were some health issues, and through natural reproduction, they had no way to bring a child into the world. I'm talking about people who chose to enter into a relationship. That part is a choice. And then in that relationship, to bring a child into the world that would not know mother or father. It could be like some older woman. She could be heterosexual. She could be homosexual. It doesn't matter. She's 35. She doesn't want to get married. She doesn't really trust men. So she's just going to get a baby that she wants through a sperm bank. And she's going to that's going to be her trophy kid. She may care about that kid, but if she cared more deeply about that kid, she wouldn't bring him into the world that way. Or it could be a gay couple. And they make certain choices, and they want to have kids, like Elton John and his partner. They're going to bring that kid into the world a certain way without telling the kid which of the two is the father, although biologically the traits, they'll probably spot that pretty easily. But they won't tell him biologically who the father is. And in all likelihood, the kid will never have a relationship with his or her mother. So listen to some of these stories. An article came out, Elizabeth Marquardt publicized it a couple years ago, where major studies were done, and it was found that so many of these kids who don't know who their actual mother is, their actual father is, more commonly the father, when they see someone walking down the street that looks like them, they wonder, are we related? When they start getting into a serious relationship with someone, they wonder, is this incestuous? I mean, could it be this my brother or my sister or something like that? These things are becoming increasingly common, and there has not been a responsible behavior set up with this. Here, let me just read this. Let these words speak for themselves. This is posted on the anonymousus.org website. We have it listed on our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Just submit it 7 days ago. Uncertainty is killing me. Who are you? Will I pass you in the street? Will you hold the door for me and smile as I walk into a gas station during my travels? Will you look at me and wonder if I belong to you? You have the pleasure of knowing I could be here. For 19 years, I was denied of knowing you even existed. What was my grandmother, your mother, like? What about my grandfather, your father? Why do you get to selfishly keep them all to yourself? Who are you to deny me half of my family tree? Branches rich and strong with stories I may never be told. Who are you to always give away my heritage, knowing it will be replaced with something false? Do I have brothers and sisters with my dark hair, my deep brown eyes? Will I be attracted to a familiar stranger in my classes? Will I fall in love with him and kiss him passionately in an act of accidental incest? Have you told your wife? Have you told your partner? What about your children? Have you told your brothers and sisters about their mysterious niece? Are you dead? Will you ever read this? Have you dismissed it as something in your past that you did to make ends meet? Did they pay you to give me away? What did you spend the money on? Did you buy a sparkly necklace for your ex-girlfriend? Did you buy books? The bank you went to would have paid you half of my college algebra book for the donation that included me. Did you buy candy bar at a gas station? Was I worth it? Do you miss me? Do you ever think of me? Do I even cross your mind? Does the uncertainty drive you crazy? Was it worth it? Do you wonder when my birthday is? What color gown I wore to my graduation? Would you be proud to know I was the valedictorian of my senior class? Would you support that I'm Christian? Would you even want me in your life? I want you in mine. I will accept anything about you if I could just get the privilege of knowing who you are, of knowing who my family is. Do people think about that? Do people think about that dimension when they donate sperm to a sperm bank and get money for it? I mean, it's unimaginable that people just do this without thinking there are consequences. There is potential human life there. There is DNA there. There's a human being of which you play a very specific part. It's outrageous, the massive irresponsibility with this. Here's one woman. She's older now, married. I was born in 1968. Raised by my gay mother. My mother was 16 when she had me. My father was a foreign student attending college on a student visa. My mother was just discovering homosexuality, so she did not tell my father she was pregnant. She moved away and never told him I had been born. My mother had looked into an abortion. Thank God it was not legal in our state. She kept me and received welfare. So here's a child first saying, I'm glad I wasn't aborted in the womb. I'm glad I'm here. She says, when I was 11, I asked who my father was. I yearned for my father. My gay mother told me I did not have a father. I persisted and insisted that she tell me the truth. I mean, how can you not have a father? What does that mean, you don't have a father? Then you're not a human being. If you don't have a father and a mother, you are not a human being. You may not know who your biological mother and father are, but we all have a mother and a father. So this girl, 11 years old, said, I persisted and insisted that my mother tell me the truth. She gave me the only photograph she had of him. She only remembered his first and last name. She said she did not know if he was still in the U.S. or back in South America. Now, how does it affect this young lady growing up? She said, I grew up with an identity problem, which affected my relationships and self-esteem, not to mention the indescribable longing and constant ache to know the piece of me that was missing. This is what happens when kids are brought into the world irresponsibly. Now, in this case, the irresponsibility was a fling a 16-year-old has with a foreign student who's attending college on a student visa. And then she begins to recognize her homosexuality, and she doesn't say anything to the father about being pregnant because she does not want the man, the father, involved in her life. That's what happened here. This is not an anonymous sperm donor. This was just a sexual encounter by someone who then decides that better for the daughter not to know the father. So she says, I grew up with an identity problem, which affected my relationships and self-esteem, not to mention the indescribable longing and constant ache to know the piece of me that was missing. In my 20s, I searched for my father through private detective services, contacting the universities he might have attended, writing to the embassy and student visa departments. I mean, this, friends, this is very sad to read. I was raised in a wonderful home, with a happily married mom and dad that cared for me and loved me. It was terribly agonizing when my dad died suddenly of a heart attack less than 2 years after we were married and just a few months after our first child was born. So I was, 22 years old when that happened. My son-in-law, Ryan, went through an even more painful experience, losing his dad to cancer, result of Agent Orange while his dad served in Vietnam. He was just 12 years old. Most of the memories he has of his dad are when his dad was terribly sick. But what do you do when you don't even know who your father is by the choice of your mother? She said, I was not able to find them due to privacy acts. I prayed to God that I would receive an answered prayer. I never gave up hope to find the father who never even knew that I existed. Remember, he just knows he had a sexual fling with a 16-year-old. That's all he knows. And he goes on with his life, doesn't realize that he fathered a child. Fast forward to present. I was married 3 years ago at age 40. I was unable to get pregnant because my eggs were too old. And she ends up deciding, she and her husband, they're going to adopt because they cannot go on with doing something just through egg donation and different things. They knew these issues. She ends up, though, able to meet her father in South America, finds him on a social website through a local Peruvian girl, similar to Facebook, ends up meeting him before he dies. Let's come back and talk about this right here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. The website I've been reading from, we have a link on our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. It's anonymousus.org. I'll probably be writing about this subject in the coming days. Very profound, something we absolutely need to think about, and serious questions we need to ask about these kids who do not know a mother, do not know a father because of the choices of the parents. 866-34-TRUTH. Oh, very important announcement. Very, very important announcement. For everyone, pastors, leaders, please take note of this. Dr. Wayne Grudem is going to be in Raleigh and going to be in Charlotte. Wayne Grudem is phenomenal. He's a seminary professor. He's written a tremendous book on politics according to the Bible. It's a 600-700-page hardcover, and it's going to be given away. It's going to be given away to pastors and leaders that come to this event. It's being sponsored by North Carolina Family Policy Council, and it is going to be February 16th in Raleigh. It's a morning event. And February 17th in Charlotte, February 16th and February 17th, just go to ncfamily.org, NC as in North Carolina, ncfamily.org. Pastors, leaders, don't miss this opportunity to be with Wayne Grudem and to get a free copy of his book. I don't know if it's the lightweight version of the book or the big hardcover. Either way, amazing free book, but great opportunity to hear Wayne. 9:15 to 11:45 a.m. Thursday the 16th in Raleigh, Friday the 17th in Charlotte. Again, ncfamily.org. It's the special pastors events. This is only for pastors and leaders, but get the word out. You don't want to miss this opportunity. 866-34-TRUTH. Tom in Jefferson, Iowa, thanks so much for calling The Line of Fire.
Thanks. It occurred to me that in the case of like a lesbian couple that gets inseminated, that as that child grows up and realizes the extreme measures that his parents, that those two ladies went through to get him, you know, because in a regular marriage between a man and a woman, it's just what happens naturally when they express their feelings for each other. But when he starts to realize what extreme measures they went through to get him, it might start occurring to him that maybe they did it for the purpose of mainstreaming their lifestyle to show that gay couples can do everything straight couples do, including raising children.
Now, Tom, that's a fascinating point. Let me play the devil's advocate, okay?
Or
the lesbian's advocate here. What if it was the reverse and that kid thought, wow, my mommies really care for me enough that they went through that effort, that expense, that difficulty to bring me into the world? Perhaps that child could feel specially loved and cared for.
Well, that's possible, but then he might come to the realization that when they made the decision, they didn't even know him.
Right. The bigger issues, Tom, of course, are that they made a decision to bring a child into a world and deprive that child of a father. That's the decision they made. They decided that dads are not important, and let's just say they brought a boy into the world, that they together would be sufficient to make that kid understand what it meant to be a boy, what it meant to be a man. if it was, say, if it was a girl, that they would make the decision that that child would never see how to properly relate to a man and have that modeled in the household. So that's the big, big issue, Tom. When parents make a decision and choose to guarantee that the kid will never have a mother or father, and now you hear the stories of those kids. I appeal to all of my listeners, gay activist listeners and straight allies and others. Hear the stories of these kids. Hear the stories of these young people and the anguish they go through, and it's happening more and more commonly in same-sex couples, and they're making a choice to tell that kid, you'll never have a mom, you'll never have a dad, and moms don't make a difference or dads don't make a difference. Tom, thank you for caring and calling. I appreciate it. And thanks for listening in Jefferson, Iowa, 866-34-TRUTH. Randy in Aurora, Colorado, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, Randy.
Okay, I have a couple of comments.
Go for it.
One is I want to mention this was at a job a long time ago, and I heard two women speaking in front of me. They were employees, and they said, men are nothing but sperm banks. And I have never forgotten that comment I heard them make, and it's very demeaning. It seems like that's what society only thinks of us as now, as we carry sperm. We're not human beings. We're not worthy to father children or to raise children. It seems to me it's all about women. Women take the role of the mother and the father. That's one comment I have.
Yeah, and why do you think, obviously plenty of women are interested in serious relationships with men, with marriage, with life commitment, but why do you think there is this mentality among many that men are just sperm banks?
Because I think it's Satan. I think your whole ministry really is attacking Satan. We're in the last days, and Satan is trying to destroy the family and to try to destroy the worth of a man, of a father and mother, too, the whole family structure, a marriage. That's what the whole lesbian thing's about, really. It's just to destroy the traditional family.
Got it. And when you realize the family is the foundation for what happens in society, that healthy marriages are the foundation, that male-female distinctives are the foundation, absolutely. Everything gets undermined when that happens. Randy, thanks for calling in with your comments. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Gary in Denver, Colorado, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, me, maybe?
You, if you are Gary in Denver, Colorado, you are on the air.
Okay. The phone cut out just when you were saying the name. I'm on the opposite end. I'm a possible father with no knowledge positively of children.
All right. And why is that?
Because there was a whole bunch of one-night stands.
Right. Right. And that's how does that feel to you?
Well, there's one kid that I worked with in 96, and he said he hated me. And he normally don't say that to somebody for no reason, and I recognized the woman, but he did introduce me to her. So, but, you know, I did. It was 1,000 miles away from Colorado. So,
and Gary, have you
had or something?
Have you become a believer since then?
Yeah, back in 78.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, we repent of our sins, and we pray for any way that we can fix what we did in the past, that the Lord would miraculously give opportunity, and perhaps He'll still do that, there are ways it'll happen. But again, you're reminding us that our irresponsible behavior, which all of us had on one level or another before we were saved, me with drugs, others with promiscuity and things, that it does have consequences. And it's not just sex. It's the human lives we're talking about. Gary, thanks for your candor, and may the Lord bring restoration through you to many people. We'll be back with a lot more.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I've got some great emails to share with you, some of the love notes that have come our way here on the Line of Fire. When I interviewed, debated, dialogue with Mitchell Gold, activist Mitchell Gold, a couple plus weeks ago, together with my friend Frank Turek. In fact, Frank was Mitchell's friend and set this up for us to get together in my studio and do the interview, dialogue, debate. Mitch Gold and other gay activists posted the links and encouraged folks to listen and to chime in. So we got many, many more responses emailed in than we normally would, and they came to specific e-addresses within our ministry. So we're thrilled to do it. And some are actually asking for dialogue. We want to pursue that. In fact, we had our first protester in front of a service this past Sunday. Turns out that he's a vegan as well and apparently practicing homosexual. And we've reached out to him. I put in a call to him earlier. He called us and said, or emailed us and said, no one's going to contact me because I went out to talk to him. When I found out he was there, he already left by the time I got outside. So, of course, I want to reach out to him. And I told folks in our congregation, listen, if what they hear about us is true, we are bad people. In other words, they're hearing such distorted, ugly things about us. And based on that, they're attacking. So let's sit down and dialogue face to face, get to know each other. But not everyone wants to do that. And this gentleman called right back. I left him a voicemail, and he called right back, said, sure, let's talk. So I'm looking forward to getting hold of him later today. But check this out, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Some of the sweet emails that came our way. Let's see here. God ordained the secular laws as quite separate from scriptural or religious doctrines, and that is what is being asked of you, to let God be God. Surely he's more powerful than you in all your studies, and certainly a gay person, even a married gay couple, could not destroy the all-powerful. Well, hang on. I'm not the one trying to change the laws. You are, sir. You're the one trying to change the laws, not me. Correct? You seem to feel the need to speak for God, but really, if you search your heart, truly you will find you are just blowing wind. Sorry. Truly you will find you are just blowing wind, selling books, and making money. Sorry to be laughing. Randy, when all the money comes in, let me know, all right? And we'll disperse it. We'll share some with Donald Trump because we're bringing in so much money. The fact of the money is... the fact of the matter. Oh, I'm sorry. This came in last week, but I didn't read the whole email. And just reading it now I'm sure it's unintended, but it does bring some joy to my heart because of the absurdity of it. You know, the fact is when you rearrange your whole life schedule to pour yourself into other people's lives and to be here on radio and you pay money to be on the air, and then you send out over a period of years hundreds of thousands of dollars of free books. You know, one day, by God's grace, September 2nd of 2000, at a gathering of several hundred thousand young people in D.C., we gave away retail value just about $1 million of books in a single day. Anyway, so I'll continue to blow wind. Whew, there you go. Sell books and make money. Thanks. How about this one from Gina? We all listened to your Q&A yesterday regarding homosexuality. I let the office tune in, and we all got a good laugh. A few people are convinced that you're a comedian, and this is simply your shtick because your assertions are so preposterous. Linda said you needed to fall on your face a little harder to knock some sense into it, and she's a 62-year-old conservative Christian grandmother. We were laughing so hard. I personally think you're just a notch below Pat Robertson on the crazy meter. The world's about to end because people are doing gay things. Ha ha. On a serious note, there's a medication you could take. Have a good day, Chicken Little. And then from Nancy, sir, do you really not understand that your vicious homophobia and that same attitude from so many Christian evangelists contributes massively to the hate-filled actions of gay bashers, gay bullies, and those who beat up and sometimes kill homosexuals? Millions of Christians think that their hateful actions are okay because people like you say so. Stop your hateful campaign against homosexuals. They do no harm to you. You know what we'll do? We'll continue to reach out to these people with the love of Jesus, trusting that love overcomes hate, bigotry, and bias.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Great to have you with us today on the broadcast on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you didn't catch my new Town Hall article, Why O'Reilly Was Wrong About Ellen, check that out. That's townhall.com. You'll find it right on the homepage. Line of Fire website, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. I read some very poignant and painful comments from children of anonymous sperm donors, from a girl whose mom got pregnant at 16 but was just beginning to realize she was, the mother was identifying as lesbian and decided not to tell the man that she had the encounter with that she was pregnant. And this girl grew up without knowing who her father was, discovered him later in life. Just talking about some of the pain of this, the irresponsibility in our society. And I've been reading some stories from a website, anonymousus.org. I encourage you to go there. Very sobering stuff to read, anonymousus.org. I have another letter I want to read to you called A Letter to My Father, Who Are You? I plan to write on some of this in the coming days. But let me just share one thing with you before I do this. I want to thank all of you who have joined with us in support, who have said we believe in what you're doing, we want to hold your hands up, who have sent in one-time gifts and who have become monthly torchbearers. We are about one-third of the way toward meeting our goal, which is very encouraging, but we have a ways to go. Later in this week, I want to share some of the mission and vision that burns in me in a way that I believe will motivate, help strengthen, edify, encourage you as we stand together to make a difference. But let me right now say this as plainly as I can. As we launched nationally and expanded beyond where we had been on the air the previous 3 years and then launched nationally into the many of the stations where you're listening right now, we did it with the help of some generous donors. They understand it takes time to build your support base on radio. And they basically said this to us: we will help get you started, but the listeners are going to have to stand with you. And if we see that the listeners believe in your program and they're standing with you and they feel that you should be on the air, then we will continue to help sow into what you're doing and even in the future expand. I'll be meeting with some of those very people this Saturday as we stop and evaluate where we are at. And are you, the listeners, saying, we want you on the air? Mike, we believe in you being on the air. Your voice is important. I don't want to miss that voice. I want it heard more and more loudly across the nation. So that's what I'm asking for, your vote of confidence, your vote of approval, by saying, we stand with you. We stand with you. Every gift, large or small, is still getting multiplied through the graces of an anonymous donor. So everything you send in gets multiplied and helps us to meet that goal. I'd really love to meet the goal by Saturday and show up and say, okay, we've met the goal. Now let's talk about moving forward. We've heard from our listeners. They have given their vote of confidence. So if this program means something to you, give me a call, 1-800-278-9978. For those who've listened for years, you know that money's something we virtually never talk about. We've brought it up the last couple of weeks because of the situation we're in. 1-800-278-9978. And my thank you to each of you that stands with us is a signed copy of my Revolution book. It's a small token of the depth of my appreciation for you. And again, my profound joy to say not a dime of what you send goes into my pocket or the pockets of our staff. It goes 100% into this voice you hear going out to more and more stations and across the world through internet with your help. 1-800-278-9978, the number for you to call, and online, askdrbrown.org. If you can relate to the letter that I am about to read, give us a call. I want to hear from you personally. You can call with an anonymous name if that's important to you, 866-34-TRUTH. This is called A Letter to My Father, and it's on the anonymousus.org website. Who are you? I ask myself this question every time I catch a glance at my reflection in the morning, and not just because my hair is in an absolute state. I fear for what the future holds and wonder if I'll receive any slight information about you. I grieve for you and for the part of myself that I'll never truly know. I feel as though half of me is missing alongside my family, because that's what you are, family. I feel as though I've been cheated out of knowing you, communicating with you, as I never got a say in the first place. I still don't now. You are anonymous, and there is nothing I can do to change that. Who are you? Do you honestly care about the poor couples out there unable to conceive, or did you just need the money? Do you want to know who I am? Do you think about me at all? Are you gay? All these questions are left unanswered. I just want answers. Such a simple ask, but one that will never be fulfilled. I'm transgender, female to male. I've not told my mom or my dad, for that matter, because I know for a fact they would be ashamed of me. Would you? I talked to a psychiatrist, told her my worries. Apparently not knowing who your biological parent is can mess with people's brains. My parents will blame themselves. Who are you? You must have brown hair, blue eyes, and be around 5'8". Just like my dad, that's how it works, right? I mean, that's all I know. How many other half-siblings do I have? I know my other sister's twins, but due to two embryos being placed in my mom's womb, what about half? There has to be somebody at my school related to me? I'll never know. Did you pass me in the street? Did you do a double take between the strong resemblance I have to your sister? Did you not even notice? Are you smart? Do you play any instruments? Do you dance or act? Do you get worried? Never for yourself, but for the thousands of others around you. Do you have a total disregard for your own safety? I do. Nobody in my family does. Do I get these traits from you? I hope so. My sisters don't seem to care at all. They never talk about it and act as though everything is fine. It's not. I notice things more. Always have, I suppose. Apparently nothing gets past me. Don't know whether that's a blessing or a curse. I began to think about you when I was 11. My best friend's mom died of cancer. She had been battling for 2 years and lost the fight just after my friend began secondary school. I was left wondering if you were dying, and if I'd ever get the chance to see you. When I was 14, my granddad died. He was my dad's dad, and my world came tumbling down. I loved him to pieces and realized you'd have seen it coming. He smoked like a chimney, let me have a sneaky smoke of his cigarette when I was 7 in the back garden. That came as no surprise when his prostate cancer spread through his lungs and turned fatal. I was young and took everything for granted. I knew deep down he was going to die, but still it came as a massive shock. I was guilt-ridden. When I found out I was donor-conceived, I began to see Granddad in a different light. I used to pick up on tiny things that now I realized meant nothing and turn them into something else. When he passed, I realized how stupid I had been and was angry with myself for not treasuring those last weeks I had with him. I began to self-harm. It was the only thing I could control. I felt like it was a release from the messed-up life I led, to a new exciting experience that I was controlling. Just before my 15th birthday, my other best friend's dad died. He went on a holiday to Rome with his best mate Greg and never came back, heart attack at 41. I was lucky to have a dad and a mom, forget biological or not. I still had two parents. She reminded me of that and how lucky I was. Who are you? I need to know after all these years. I wish I knew who you are. When I was little, I used to pretend you were someone off of the TV, a celebrity or even a rock star. I would make stories and play them over and over in my head, sometimes writing them down, and I would always dream about them. I said little, but this stage lasted well into my teens. If only I could speak to you, write a letter. That's where I wrote this, hoping that by some miracle you may come across it. You wouldn't know that it's you I'm talking about. You'd pass it off on some other guy. Perhaps I'm making you curious, or perhaps maybe you know for sure that this letter is not for you, or do you? I know for a fact that if I ever get the chance to meet you, what my first question will be, who are you? Boy, these are really poignant, please. And again, we're talking about parents that make choices or single people that make choices so that the kid they bring into the world will never truly know who their mother is or who their father is. They make choices that guarantee to deprive a child of a mom or dad. We're not talking about a single parent that does not have the ability to have the other parent in the life right now. The person may have died. The person may have divorced them. The person may have come in their life and dropped out, and they can't get back in touch with them. But there's always the potential that they could bring another parent into that situation, that there could be marriage, there could be family in that respect. But how about a situation where you guarantee that the kid will never have a mom, or you guarantee that the kid will never have a dad because it's a same-sex union? Don't we care about those kids? Don't we care about those stories? Why is it only the story of a gay teenager who commits suicide that gets our attention, What about the stories of all these kids who are troubled, who are grieved because they've been raised in an environment where it's guaranteed they'll never know their mom or their dad? By the way, what about all the people that were suicidal for a thousand different reasons and heard the gospel, and because of hearing about Jesus, they're no longer suicidal? What about that? Where does that weigh in? Do we withhold the message of life, the message of hope, the message of truth, the message of goodness, because some people will misconstrue it and some people will abuse it and some people will call it hate? Do we not speak the message of Jesus to a lost and dying world just because some people will say, you hate me and that's why you bring it? Let us persevere with the message of life and love. Let us make a difference while we have breath. I'll be back with a word of encouragement.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire. God is faithful. No one who puts their trust in him will ultimately be ashamed. 866-34-TRUTH. An article I read about the importance of moms the other day got me back to this website, anonymousus.org. Let me read the mission statement of this organization. In fact, let me just go back to the homepage. What happened? How did I get off the homepage? All right, well, this works. The Anonymous Us Project is a safety zone for real and honest opinions about reproductive technologies and family fragmentation. We aim to share the experiences of voluntary and involuntary participants in these technologies while preserving the dignity and privacy for storytellers and their loved ones. So go there, visit, think about the issues raised. The gal who has put this together, Alana S., she's got a picture here, donor-conceived adult. So she's an adult now, donor-conceived. Create a professional devoted to contributing insights and commentary about family fragmentation through evocative music and storytelling. So what's the point of this? I said I want to give you a word of encouragement. The point of this is that we do have the formula for life. We should stand out in such a glowing way because we understand God and his principles. We understand the importance of marriage and family. We understand the unique giftings of male and female. We understand the gifts that children are to us, not some punishment, but gifts from God. There's a colleague of mine, he and his wife unexpectedly had a fifth child. They were in their 40s. The mom was a tremendously devoted homeschooler. The youngest now was 14 and they finished many, many years of homeschooling. Their lives had operated a certain way because of family, a wonderful, tight-knit family unit. And then to their total shock, they had a fifth child. So what is it, 15 years or so between the next one and the baby. And their emotions went up and down. They were just traumatized because it was not what they expected, and they're busy in ministry and pastoring and so on. And I say this on the air because my friend has said publicly in front of our entire congregation, where he is the key pastor leader in our midst, that he's so embarrassed at the attitude that he had of, oh no. And of course, you know, abortion was never a question. That's not an option. And when the mom was told, well, with your age, you need to have what, amniocentesis and see, you know, check to see if the baby has Down syndrome so you can abort. So she goes, no, I'm not going to do that. It doesn't matter what the baby has, doesn't have, that's our kid. But the attitude of, oh no, what's going to happen to our lives and so on, when this is like the greatest gift in their lives, this jewel, they cannot believe the joy of having her in their lives. It would be unimaginable to not have her. So we of all people have a special appreciation for these gifts from God. And I tell you, if we will continue to honor God and do the right thing in our families, our testimony will stand across the nation. Our testimony will make a difference. The wholeness in our families will make a difference. If we live this out, friends, we can be lights shining in dark places with many, many, many hurting people. 866-34-TRUTH. Joe in Lakewood, Colorado, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Mike.
Hello.
Hey, you know, my heart goes out to these people, and I don't want to diminish what you're saying at all, but there's a piece that I think needs to come out, especially for the gal who wrote the letter. I'm the father of two adopted children. They don't know, and they will never know their biological parents. We pray for their biological parents, Betty and I do all the time. But this child, this girl, needs to understand that she knows her father. Her father is the one who hugged her when she had a broken heart. The one who read her bedtime stories. She's got a father and she knows him.
Yeah, Joe, I so appreciate your sharing that. I mentioned early on in the first half hour one woman who told her story, the one where her mom had sexually active when she was 16 with another man, and then decided not to tell him she was pregnant because she was discovering her homosexuality, and then wouldn't tell the identity to the kid and so on. When this girl got older, she ended up deciding to adopt. She and her husband, she was in her 40s, was too old to have kids, and she and her husband decided to adopt because they felt it was the right way to go rather than to have anonymous donors and things like that. So my issue, Joe, and I'm so glad you called, and I know many need to hear what you had to say, and I thank God that your kids have a real dad. It's when people make lifestyle choices that guarantee the child will not have a mom and dad. That's why I kept repeating that. It's so important, though, that what you said was said. And I do appreciate you calling, and I apologize if in any way I said anything that diminished that. It's the other story we just don't hear, with all of the irresponsible sperm banks and artificial insemination and just lifestyle choices people make, rather than there are times when a kid is separated from a biological father, and thank God there are adoptive parents that come in and pour themselves out for them. So, Joe, thank you for calling, and thanks for being a real dad. I appreciate that.
You bet.
All right.
And like I say, I don't want to diminish what you're saying, Mike. It is important, and you're right, but she needs to know she has a father. That's the only piece I wanted to add.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Joe, and thank you for the call again, and thanks for what you do. God bless you.
You too.
All right. Yeah, enough said. Nothing really to add to that. It's the irresponsible choices that are made that lead to family fragmentation that we must address, and we have the message of life and hope. Remember, friends, if you're in Raleigh, North Carolina, or Charlotte, North Carolina, and you're a pastor or leader, it's pastors and leaders only, please join Wayne Grudem this Thursday, the 16th, and Friday, the 17th, Raleigh and then Charlotte for a special event. And just go to, let me get the link, ncfamily.org, ncfamily.org. And again, if you believe in what I'm doing, we need to hear from you. We need your vote of confidence. We need to be able to turn to people standing with us and say, the listeners believe in what we're doing, and they want my voice on the air. And you do it by just calling and standing with us any way you can, large or small. We will feel it. We will feel it. And we thank you from the bottom of the heart. It sends waves of encouragement to me because I know that God called us to do what we're doing. 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Again, my personal way of saying thank you will be a signed copy of my book, Revolution, that'll stir your heart. So your gift of any size, 1-800-278-9978, or become a torchbearer. Become one of our monthly supporters and know that every day we're on the air, it's because of you and we're making a difference. Or go online, askdrbrown.org. My bottom line today: we believe what we believe, not simply because God spoke it, not simply because it's in the Bible, but because God's ways are best. God's ways are reasonably best. God's ways are reasonably good. When we put into practice the life principles He has given us, life reproduces life.